Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Hebrews with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 3, ending in verse 11, where we see that parents, specifically fathers, here on this earth are never perfect. As Pastor Dave expounds on the book of Hebrews today, we see that even when our fathers on earth are less than ideal, we have a Father in heaven that is. And he is full of love for you. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Hebrews 12, verse 3.
That's all that it means. It doesn't mean that he enjoys it. It doesn't mean he delights in it. It doesn't mean he was looking for it. It just means that you're his. It means that he loves you and that you're his. He goes like this. If you endure chastening, and he's quoting from Proverbs, if you endure chastening, God deals with you, I underlined it, as with sons, okay? For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof are all partakers, then you're bastards, that's the King James. Your translation, if it's anything else, probably says illegitimate. If it's New King or ESV or whatever else you use, probably says illegitimate, then you're not his, because guess what? You can't spank somebody else's kids. So if somebody else's kid is misbehaving at the restaurant, I might want to pull their hair, but I can't. If some other kid in the neighborhood is yelling things that they shouldn't be to their parents, or if I'm at Wegmans and they're talking in a manner that's disrespectful, I can't go over there and swat them, but I can to my son. I can take my daughter's phone. I can discipline my kids. I don't discipline other people's kids, and the father says neither do I. So this is sobering. I need your attention. This is very base and simplistic. Listen to what's being said. Father loves you. We're in the family room. We left the locker room. He wants you to run your race, and he wants you to run it well, and he wants you to win. He wants you to finish. You're not racing against anybody else. It's not against other Christians. It's not a competition. It's you running toward a prize. You're running toward a prize, and you're running toward an image, okay? And in the process of it, he's saying this. If you get off course, off track at all, I'm going to redirect you because I love you that much. I love you just the way that you are, but I love you so much, I'm not going to let you stay the way that you are. So I'm going to be faithful to you in the process, even when you're not in the mood for it. But if I don't do anything in your life and you're constantly getting away unscathed in sin, wake up, that means you're not mine. So if you're over here saying, Chess, I don't know what he's talking about. You don't rebuke me, scourge. That's a word of discipline in verse 6. I don't get scourged. I can't remember the last time I was spanked. I can't remember the last time something happened in my life. I get away with text messaging. I get away with going places. My wife don't even know where I am half the time. Nothing ever gets found out. I am as sly, man, as a fox. Nothing happens. I don't know. I don't know, Pastor. I think I'm smarter than what you're not giving me credit for. I get away with it, man, and I believe in Jesus. Right, you might believe in Jesus, but he isn't your Lord. And how I know is because the scriptures just said if you don't get chastised, you're illegitimate, you're not his son. So do you have those impressions? It starts with an impression. Just like it starts at my home with my kids. Hey, please, Char, settle down. If you do it again, right, there's warnings. There's I'm asking you, there's words. Right? Like, we don't discipline just to discipline. That's the last resort. When the kids are little, the rod, it's the last resort. It's not like in my hand just waiting. I don't just sit there within my, I'm waiting for it. It's actually after like an exuberant amount of long, those words go terrible together. Long suffering, suffering long. Forbearance, mercy, grace, please stop. Please stop. I'm asking you to stop. I don't want to have to spank you. I don't want to take this away. I don't want to send you to your room. I don't want this to happen. It's pleading with you. Isn't it true? That's how it starts with God. Conviction. You get a sick feeling in your spirit, in your stomach, in your heart. You know it's the Lord telling you, don't do it. Don't go to the apartment alone with him. You're going to fall into sin. Don't do it. He's not like prude in heaven saying, wait a minute, why do you want to have sex? What's wrong with you? I know you're in your 20s. No, he's going like this. I gave you, that's a gift. Sex drive's a gift, but all of gifts from God have to be God-governed. So if you go there, you're going to fall. So don't go there because you'll fall and the condemnation will be great. It's this plea, just like a dad. He's so reasonable. He's so kind. He's so loving. And then we go there. And then he convicts us after so that we can repent, but we don't repent because we think we're smart. And we think, like kids think, that God's winking at us. Like, it's cute. For the rest of the room, it's really not cute, but it's cute when I do it. We do. We're that prideful. We do. It's cute when I text her. It's not cute when he texts her or she texts him. But when I do it, God knows I don't mean it. I'm just kind of a flirt by nature. It's cute. And God forbears, presses our. If we close his word, he can't speak to us. But even still, he's still with the Spirit and pressed on our hearts. You're wrong. You're an error. Turn from your ways. I know your warp and woof. I know your tendencies. Before you were formed, all of your days were fashioned. They were already laid out. I made you a specific way, but you were conceived in sin. That's the tension. You understand? That's the tension. He made me a certain way to be a leader of his church, but I can corrupt that and pollute that in a second. There's a tension. My strength is my weakness. My weakness is my strength. There's a tendency. I could be persuasive. I'm using it right now for the glory of God, but if I don't check myself, I'll wreck myself, and I can go be persuasive of other things and people that will lead people to damnation. He knows my warp and woof. He knows the length, and he knows the height. He knows how I overlap. He knows everything about me. He knows my thoughts afar off. He knows my words before they were formed. He hears my words before they're even spoken. This is what, but it's not being told to us like creep us out and to make us scared of Father in heaven. It's to say this to you. So yield to him. So listen to him. He's in your corner. He's rooting for you. If you need evidence of his love, he gave his son for you. He rejected his cry. Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Like after he already said, could there be a different way than the cross? And the Father said, no, he goes to the cross. What are you, 12 hours later, a little bit more? Now he's on the cross and he's saying, it's not Father anymore, now it's God. The intimacy's broken. Now it's God, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? He had to hear his son cry that so that you and I would never have to. So you can trust him when he's impressing on your heart, this relationship's bad. You're taking the drink, but man, is the drink taking you. You got to stop with this. I know it's a liberty, but it's going to destroy you. It's a weight. It's a hindrance. It's going to ruin your life. It's going to affect the way that you're running. You're going to slow down. You're going to lose momentum. Listen, Christianity is a sport, if you would. It's an engagement. It's a walk of momentum. I'm telling you. I need Wednesday nights to teach because it keeps my momentum going. When I don't have Wednesday nights for a long period of time, I lose my momentum. I need momentum. It's just like sports. You need momentum. For the good or for the bad, you get in a little slump, it's got momentum, and it's dangerous to you. It's detrimental to you. A couple days of not reading the Bible, it could catch the momentum. Be careful. We got to stay in the Word. We got to stay in fellowship. This could be dangerous. This pandemic that we're coming out of could have been the worst thing to happen to some of you, because some of you might be saying, man, I kind of like my Sunday mornings. I kind of like not having it. I could just watch church online. I don't even have to watch it on Sunday. I can go golf, or I can go do yard work, or I can do whatever I want to do, grocery shop. And then I can watch the service or listen to the service in the car, kind of, on Monday. It's momentous. Careful. This clock on the screen keeps saying 10:35, and I'm thinking, I'm preaching good, but I'm not preaching that good right now. Like, time is not standing still. It's so late. I'm sorry. Let's keep moving here. I keep looking at the clock. The screen's going crazy. It's got a demon. And every time I look at it, it's saying 10:35. I'm thinking, Lord, did you make the sun stand still? Is this like a Joshua experience all over again on Father's Day? 2020's been weird, so why not? I mean, whatever you want to do. I'm thinking, I keep bringing up Psalm 139. It's part of the warp and woof of my message, if you're catching it. And I'm thinking, I'm doing that because time's running out. I can't take it to Psalm 139. But now I'm thinking, it's 10:35. I'm about to hop over to Psalm 139 with you guys. I'm not going to, because now I realize it's not late, but So he's going on here to encourage us. He's saying that your discipline is proof of his love for you, that you're his kid. If it doesn't happen, you're not his kid. Furthermore, verse 9, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us. That's instruct, they teach, they chastise us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Listen, the word live there means to enjoy real life. That's what he wants. He's not trying to mess with you today. He's not trying to, it's not psychological warfare. Let me get in my kids' head so they don't act out. No, it's none of that. You ever do it with your kids before you go to a restaurant? If you embarrass me in front of, you know, I'm going to, you know, and then there's all sorts of things we can't say in church. Like, that's what's going to happen. It's psychological warfare, you know. I'm going to destroy your life if this happens. But listen, the Father's, you want to know his motivation is? You to have life. And life more abundantly. You can't design a life that he could give. My wife says it all the time. She says to me, thank you for the beautiful, she calls it the beautiful life that you've given our family. And I laugh because I think, Lord, all the life that I've given to my family is the life that I've received from you that they're benefiting from. And he whispered back, that's what it's supposed to be. The Lord has an abundant life for you. It's just, you can't draw it up. You can't. You can't design it for yourself. He designs it for you. And as you run your race and you stay on course, he just unlavishes it. Crazy. Me and Shauna started out in sin. She wasn't even saved when we started dating. I was a missionary dater. Don't recommend it. It's a terrible thing. But the Lord somehow brought beauty from ashes. And he gave us what we have. He gives you what you have. As you walk with him, as you honor him. Can you just see that again? He says, hey, listen. You were in subjection, end of verse 9, unto your earthly father. Why not be in subjection to the Father of spirits? That's eternal. And live. Come to life. For they verily for a few days chastened us, verse 10, after their own pleasure. That's distorted there, the way it reads. It's literally as it seems right to me or my opinion. Dads do the best they can, typically. The problem is you only get one shot at raising your kids when they're under your roof. You don't get a rough draft. You don't get, there is, besides the Bible, there's no manual. Every kid's different. You think you know what your next kid's going to be like after you have the first kid. Oh, the first kid. You guys have a good first kid, too. Like, JD, your first kid seems awesome. Is he that good? He's in the room. I don't even know when he's in the room. JD says, yeah, right, come back. He could always be here. He's wonderful. He's such a good baby, but that's dangerous. Because if the first baby's wonderful like that, you think the second baby is. And you say to all the, oh, yeah, that person, they let their kid sleep in bed with them, you know. And you know everything because you had one good baby. Not you, but people that do. And then they have a second baby, and that baby, you don't even know what to, you just hold it out from you when you hold it because you think, like, what's wrong with this child? Something's not right. And then you have a third kid, and now you're really messed up. Because it's not the first, and it's not the second. And only if you're really crazy, you have a fourth and so on. And so forth. But they're different. They're so different. And you have the first kid's good. You're thinking, this is easy. I don't know why everybody's so stressed out about it. They've been sleeping since week 3. Maybe one of your spouses is there, whatever one isn't doing it, the other one's putting Benadryl in their milk or something because not every kid is that way. And you do the best you can. You do the best you can. You do the best you can. I go to bed a lot at night with condemnation. I should have been more patient. With daughters, it's hard because they're different than men. They're not simplistic. Charlo's simplistic. He's a boy. He's quick to, if I overreact to something or yell, he forgives me. I could tell when I hurt my daughter's hearts. I got to buy him flowers, chocolate, take him to Starbucks. They're different. We did the best we could. But he's not like us. Please stay focused as we close. This is so important. He doesn't discipline to the best that he could. It says this, he does it for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Listen, the word profit there means to bring together, to be expedient. He's bringing us together. What I tell you since the beginning, our warp and our woof. He's a weaver. He's a weaver. You see the poetry in this? He's making something. It's the essential of a building, the essential foundation of a building, the warp and the woof. The Declaration of Independence, it's the warp and the woof of the United States of America. It's what our country has been founded on. It's what our forefathers have written and what our country has, it's our warp and our woof. He is the weaver, and he knows your warp and your woof, and he's disciplining you when he disciplines you because he knows your makeup and he's sewing something. You are his poema. You're his expression of love to the world. How crazy. Now all of a sudden I'm thinking, man, Lord, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. This is amazing. So no chastening in the present seems to be joyous. Notice the word seems, because that's how we are. We're very like, this doesn't seem right because we only know what's in front of us. It doesn't seem to be joyous, but rather it seems grievous. I like a synonym for grievous there in verse 11. It means annoyance. It seems annoying. Nevertheless, afterward, just like when you were sent to your room and you had a minute to think about what you did when you were a kid, just like when you were spanked, just when you did get the car taken away because you didn't come home on time for curfew, at the time it's annoying. My mom is so annoying. My dad is so annoying, you know. I am making fun of some of you teenagers right now, you know, like, oh, they're so annoying. Yeah, whatever, you think you know everything at that age, but I promise you, as soon as you bring your first kid home from the hospital, you will call your mom and dad, and you will say this, thank you. Just the first day home. And then you'll say, Mom, please pack a bag and spend a week. Please, I'll give you the bed. And you'll realize that everything that they did was to the best that they could so that you can come on the other side of it into what you're supposed to be. Now watch this. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised. It's where we get our word gym from, thereby. The world doesn't want to hear about exercise. The world doesn't want to hear about chastisement. These are topics the world, no one's going to exercise me. No one's going to chastise me. The world, but listen, we're governed by another world. And our Father says this to us, your destination isn't just a place, it's an image. And in the process of getting to that image, that is of my Son, there is chastisement that comes as necessary per kid. And for some kids, it's a look. And for other kids, it is at the age appropriate, maybe a spanking. The Bible speaks that. Or for others, it's this, or for others, it's that. But it will be tailored to their warp and woof, to the fabric that's being used, woven together to something beautiful that I already can see, you can't see it. I already can see, and it will only be as necessary. And I'm exercising, that's the word here. It's like the gymnasium. These people would have went nuts with this word because in the Greek, it's if you break it down, when they were young, the children, the boys specifically, they'd have gym time. And they'd have to go and be worked out. Little Greek boys, they'd have to go and work out. So when they're a big Greek boy, they look like Vinny. Perfect. You're like a Greek god, you know, just like a V and just cuts. The body was so regarded by this culture. So the goal was by father, seriously, they take their kid. I tear the language for you guys. They take their kid to the gymnasium and they'd work them out. This is the word. They'd exercise them so that by the time they come into adulthood, manhood, there's something that the father could stand back. That's what dads do. You get the dad bod and now your son has... You don't know where your body went. Your kid has it now. And you sit there with your friends. You say, look at my son, you know. That's what you do. You drink a San Pellegrino with pepperoni and cheese, and you watch your son, and you say, look at my son. Like, I'm already going. I look at my son now. He's got quads. He's got pecs. I look at him, and I just think, I'm done, you know. It doesn't even matter anymore. It's just, look at my son. He's an amazing athlete. He can do backflips off the diving board. I can't even do a front flip off the diving board. This kid can do anything. I jump on the trampoline with him yesterday. I'm pulling muscles. He's flying in the air. I'm not telling him because he can't know yet that he's at this. I'm watching him. He's not paying attention. It's 45 minutes in. He's outside in the sandbox. I look at him. I think, this is it. He's what I want to be. And he's what I want my friends to see. Not me with my shirt off, him with his shirt off, you know. That's it. That's my son. Isn't that what you feel? That's my son's. I'm exercising him. He's exercising me so that when I get to my maturity, it's a thing of standing back and saying, the only reason why I ever chastised you in the process was to get you here. 9 times. I was trying to count as I was preaching. I think 9 times that word was used in those few verses. But I don't think it's what the Holy Spirit wants us to hone in on. I think it's this: He loves you. And He's got the warp and the woof down, man. And He's stitching. Let Him go. He's doing it so that you could bring forth fruit of righteousness that's peaceable and that you could live. Isn't that amazing? God, I thank You. You make our Christian experience, Lord, light, airy. It's hard not to think of some of these summer days we've had where the humidity is low and the sky is blue, and there's a breeze, the sun shining, the birds are singing. God, that's what our walk with You so often really does feel like. Just very airy, very comfortable, God. And the only time the storms roll in, Lord, in this regard, Lord, it seems, is when You're just trying to get us back to course. I know that there are other types of storms, Lord, but we're not talking about those for right now. We just want to leave the room today, Lord, with a right perception of Your fatherhood and Your care for us, Your love toward us. Thank You that You're not abusive. Thank You that You don't lash out. Thank You that You're measured. Thank You that You're composed. Thank You that You never discipline out of anger. Thank You that Your discipline is genius, that it's tailored toward each of us, God, according to what we need in the moment. It makes me love You more. It makes me want to get back to the track and to run with all that I have for Your glory, God. I want to bear fruit for You, and not just some fruit, but much fruit. And I pray that all of us that are listening this morning, God, would stay abiding in the vine. You are the vine, we're the branches. We don't produce, we just bear. And we're thankful for that work of the Spirit this morning. So bless Your people, God. Encourage them. Strengthen them, Lord. And continue to grace us dads to be, Lord, what You've called us to be. We love You. We appreciate You. We give You our thanks and our worship this morning. Let it bless Your heart, we pray. In Jesus' name.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water.